Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, June 12th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC-T party says they will go ahead with a rally set for tomorrow, though police won't provide security.
The Honorable Pino Denga advised me that the police had actually written to them, advising them that the rally that was supposed to be held at Unyetu Business Center should not proceed.
President Robert Mugabe left for South Africa today for the 25th Assembly of Heads of State and Government of the African Union, set to start on Sunday.
It's an important one, certainly in terms of the timing and the context in which all these various challenges and opportunities are lying before us.
And Warriors fight for appearance fees at home, and now they are on the road for a clash with Malawi Flames. Stay tuned for more details.
President Robert Mugabe left Harare for Johannesburg today, where he is expected to join other African leaders in the 25th Assembly of Heads of State and Government of the African Union, set for Sunday and Monday at Sandton Convention Center. The summit, which has been preceded by the 30th Ordinary Session of Permanent Representatives Committee on June 7th and followed 3 days later by the 27th Executive Council, is being held under the theme Year of Women's Empowerment and Development Towards Africa's Agenda 2063. A report from the African Union or AU Secretariat said more than 50 African heads of state have started arriving in South Africa for the meeting to be chaired by Mr. Mugabe.
The leaders are expected to discuss conflicts in countries like Burundi, Nigeria, Somalia, and Sudan. Behind closed doors, the leaders are also expected to discuss xenophobia, the global migration crisis, and Africa's rather strained relationship with the International Criminal Court. A Kenyan Deputy President William Ruto's case before the International Criminal Court will form part of the AU Heads of State Summit agenda on Sunday. International Crisis Group's Southern Africa Project Director Pius Pigu tell Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the summit is significant for Africa.
It's an important one, certainly in terms of the timing and the context in which all these various challenges and opportunities are lying before us. So while the theme of the focus on dealing with issues around gender and the empowerment of women and looking at issues relating to challenges facing women on this continent and the broader challenges of the 2063 agenda need to be addressed, those broader, complex, contextual, long-term objectives need to be addressed, but through the lens of some immediate challenges on the continent relating to a number of very specific crises as they relate to conflict and political crises in various parts of the continent. But there's also some good stories, of course, or some positive news stories, particularly the Nigerian election story, which is a shot in the arm in terms of what we can learn from that process as well. So, yes, it's an important process, Blessing, it's in terms of a marker in a longer journey, and, of course, getting indicators of where the African Union leadership stand on controversial issues such as the third term concerns. And so it's important to read what the union says, but also what the union doesn't say. One reads the silences as well as the utterances.
Lastly, your assessment of Mr. Mugabe's leadership so far?
First of all, one mustn't judge the African Union by virtue of the rotating chair. Mr. Mugabe has actively flown around, but it's not been a chairing of the African Union that leaves particular memories of achievement. But of course, we're only halfway through his tenure. So who knows what remarkable contributions he will be able to make in the next 6 months.
That was International Crisis Group's Southern Africa Project Director Pius Pigu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg.
Meanwhile, on the sidelines of the summit, Amnesty International and 12 other civil society organizations said the AU should call on the South African authorities to provide a long-term security guarantee for refugees, migrants and asylum seekers living in that country. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Amnesty International's Regional Director for Southern Africa, Depros Mochena, for more details.
Today, Amnesty International and 12 other civic groups that have a regional mandate in Southern Africa met to discuss or rather carry out a policy dialogue on promoting migration policies that are informed by human rights, as well as dealing with strategies of combating xenophobia, which, as you know, is rife in South Africa, but is also manifested across the continent from Cape to Cairo. And today's focus was about dealing with regional mechanisms. Our idea was to highlight the role that migration has played in the history of Southern Africa, in general, in South Africa in particular, and how South Africa is intricately linked to this history of migration in terms of its economy.
Are you lobbying African leaders to consider some of the issues that you were debating today? How are you doing it?
Yes, we certainly are engaging with African governments individually, but we are also engaging with sub-regional bodies, both in terms of SADC, but most importantly in terms of the African Union, because this is a pan-African problem.
And that was Amnesty International's Regional Director for Southern Africa, Depros Mochena, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg.
In another related development, 40-year-old U.S. actress and director Angelina Jolie is also in South Africa to attend a panel on conflict-related gender violence of the AU summit today. Jolie is the United Nations Special Envoy for Refugees.
There was pomp and fanfare today in Harare as 27 academically gifted students from economically disadvantaged families from all over Zimbabwe were awarded scholarships worth $6 million to study in the United States under the USA Education's United States Student Achievers Program, or USAP. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports.
United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton congratulated the students, saying the USAP program, launched in 2000 when he was public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy, had made the U.S. and Zimbabwe proud.
I'm even prouder to be here today to congratulate 27 extraordinary young Zimbabweans. You are an extraordinary group of people, and you follow in the proud tradition of many other extraordinary Zimbabweans.
The students, who were accompanied by their parents and relatives, expressed their great joy in going to some of the best universities and colleges in the U.S. Alpha Ngwenya of Victoria Falls, who is headed for Arizona State University, said he will do his best in his studies.
When I go to the States, I want to study social work because I have a passion in me to change the society that I grew up in.
Marvin Madondo, who attended All Souls Mission and St. Francis of Assisi in Chivu.
I'm hoping to study mathematics and computer science in the light that Zimbabwe is a country that is developing, and in the near future need students who will be able to like run the digital part of Zimbabwe, is always the logical part. So I'm hoping to come back to Zimbabwe after I've done my studies so that I will contribute to my country.
Sisasengo Simandi, who did a secondary education at Masiepambili College in Bulawayo and will study public health at Brown University, also promised to help local communities.
I think one of the core things that is USAP is giving back to your community. And our communities is where we've grown up. Zimbabwe is our home. And we are looking to gain things that will help us to come and give back.
Among those who got a scholarship was Congolese national Joel Shite, who grew up at Tongogara refugee camp in Chipinge, Manicaland province. Shite, who is going to study electrical engineering at the University of Southern Indiana, is excited that his refugee status did not deter him from achieving his dreams.
The refugee is just a word, but that does not define who we are. Now today I'm joining other great students in Zimbabwe who are also going to the United States. I didn't dream of it, so I really feel great.
Joel's father, Shite Chitindelax, said he was very proud of his son's achievements.
Joel is number 5, and I'm very proud today. The way we stay in Tongogara, no one can believe that this can happen to one of the refugee boys. So it happened to me, so I'm proud and I'm thankful to my God.
The U.S. government has spent more than $50 million on USAP since its inception, and more than 300 Zimbabwean students have studied under the program, with most of them returning to Zimbabwe after completing their studies. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The Movement for Democratic Change Formation, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, says it will go ahead with a rally tomorrow on electoral reforms in Chikomba District, Mashonaland and East Province, even if police won't provide security for the event. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more from Harare.
Party spokesman Obed Gutu told Studio 7 in Harare today that the police informed them that they can't provide adequate manpower for the rally to be addressed by the MDCT leader.
Yes, I can confirm that only yesterday I had a meeting with the East Provincial Chairperson of our party MDC, Honorable Pino Denga, who advised me that the police had actually written to them, advising them that the rally that was supposed to be held at Unyetu Business Center in Chikomba on Saturday, June the 18th, should not proceed.
Gutu said police indicated that they will instead be providing security in the same province for a meeting to be convened by some ZANU-PF officials.
The police said that ZANU-PF officials will be distributing rice and other foodstuffs to people in the neighborhood within the wards of the same area of Unyetu in Chikomba district. Obviously know that this is the usual tactic of the police being used by the ZANU-PF regime to try to frustrate the MDC from holding its activities and rallies.
In terms of Section 25 of the Public Order and Security Act, or POSA, a political party is only obliged to give notice of its intention to hold a public meeting at least 5 days before the date on which such public meeting is to be held.
All we have to do in terms of the requirements of POSA is to advise the police that we are going to hold our rally, which we have since done. The reason given by the police that they don't have adequate manpower to cover our rally and also to cover the food distribution campaign by ZANU-PF in the same area is really a very nebulous reason. So definitely President Morgan Tsvangirai is scheduled to attend this car rally at Unyetu Business Center tomorrow.
Provincial police spokesperson Inspector Clemens Mabuyazara was not available for comment. ZANU-PF loyalist Goodson Nguni said it is surprising that Tsvangirai will hold the rally when he has been informed by the police that they won't provide the necessary security personnel.
We believe in the rule of law, and this law was there during the government of national unity days when Tsvangirai was prime minister. He did not have that annulled or changed when he was there. So we expect Mr. Tsvangirai, like all other law-abiding citizens, to abide by the law. The law is that you must get authority from the police when you have a gathering of people. So what Mr. Tsvangirai is doing is not acceptable.
Political science lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe, Professor Charity Manyeruke, said Zimbabwe has adequate laws to deal with people like Tsvangirai.
It's really up to him, because what the law says and the instruction that he got is very clear. So if he decides to go against the law and the instruction, surely he should also expect the same law to deal with him, because there are adequate laws in this country which deals with the people who want to cause chaos.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police have over the years failed to provide security for Tsvangirai's rallies, which have been conducted nonetheless. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Organizers of a prayer meeting for missing political activist Itai Dzamara and other issues affecting the country say they've cancelled the event after being told by the police that the venue has been booked by the MDCT for a similar event. President of the Zimbabwe Pastors Fellowship, Reverend Watson Furai, tells Studio 7 they took the decision because they don't want to be associated with politics.
The confusion really
was a creation, I believe, of the police, a deliberate creation of the police. Did we have, as a party, formally withdrawn our notification in terms of POSA?
But why did you, as a party in the first place, apply to hold a meeting at the same venue that the pastors have already booked?
John, that was just, unfortunately, a small administrative mix-up. You know, we are a big organization. We are a mammoth political party. It could just have been a small administrative mix-up.
Sorry, that was MD City spokesman Obet Gutu speaking on Studio 7 from Harare. The MDC says they have withdrawn their request to hold the prayer meeting, so there was no need for the police to deny pastors the permission to hold its event.
As the nations commemorate World Blood Donor Day, the International Blood Transfusion Services says it will hold various activities tomorrow in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
Sifundo Ngwenya, regional spokesperson of the National Blood Transfusion Services, tells Studio 7 they expect many people to attend this event.
They are saying we are going to have a very great gathering. Our national aspect of the gathering will be in Bulawayo, where we will get testimonies, where we will get speeches read, where we will have poetry and drama, where we will have music and dance and song, so that at least people celebrate this day in a very, very, very vivid and august manner that is going to see us enjoying the day with the people who will give us testimonies as to what happened to them, so that they received blood and they are now healthy and strong, so much so that those who donate blood will also give us why they are really pushed to make sure that they donate this blood.
That was Sifundo Ngwenya of the National Blood Transfusion Services speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Tune in on Sunday for more details about how to donate blood to the needy. Don't miss this interview here on Studio 7.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Harare garbage sites set to return the capital city to its sunshine status.
And the Warriors wobbling all the way to Malawi. Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. authorities say two men accused of plotting to attack police officers in Massachusetts are being charged with conspiracy to provide material support to Islamic State militants.
A French court has acquitted former International Monetary Fund Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn of aggravated pimping for sex parties in a scandal that brought an end to the economist's IMF career.
Members of youth vigilante forces in northern Nigeria say the Boko Haram militant group has burned six villages and killed 37 people in a new attack near the insurgent stronghold in Sambisa Forest.
And the International Law Enforcement Agency, Interpol, says it has suspended its 10-year partnership deal with football's governing board, FIFA, over its corruption scandal.
The Harare City Council and a local non-governmental organization, Environment Africa, have started establishing garbage sorting centers as the city steps up efforts to regain its Sunshine City status. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from the capital.
In remarks during belated World Day Environment Day commemorations, Council's Environmental Management Committee Chairman Chris Mbanga said the sorting centers for recycling materials will go a long way in saving resources and keeping the environment clean.
The pilot project to be located in Ward 8, which is Grindel, will act as bedrock for the establishment of recycling centers in most parts of Harare as we step up our efforts to ensure that we promote sustainable development.
Mbanga said companies, especially those involved in the manufacturing of beverages, must promote recycling of cans and plastic bottles to keep littering in the city.
We implore all beverage companies to promote the recycling of the cans to save our environment.
Under the rubbish sorting center scheme, which have been successfully implemented in Greendale and Avondale suburbs, Environment Africa will provide the big garbage containers and staff, while council will allocate land for these projects. Environment Africa Public Relations Officer Sandra Govu said the idea is to encourage residents to take their waste to the centers, where it will be sorted into four recyclables: plastic, cans, bottles and paper. Once that has been done, she said, companies that want to pick waste can collect it at sorting centers.
The waste harvesters have discovered there are these centers where they can go and get clean waste. They don't need to then look for water to wash the waste. They are already picking it. It's separated, it's sorted. If they want cans, they're just coming to get the cans from the cage, and they are clean cans. So many of those people that were operating from Pomona are now using the recycling centers.
She adds, in the long run, they expect the companies that recycle waste to pay for the sorted waste, saying the focus now is to raise awareness among residents that there is money in waste. These projects are part of the many efforts the local authority has taken to keep the city clean. Other programs include the Catch Them Young program, in which council educates children in all primary schools in the city on the need to take care of the environment, save water, and anti-litter awareness. Council has also trained hundreds of anti-litter monitors that move around residential areas, educating residents on the need to properly manage their waste by disposing it in garbage bins and saving water. A resident who is involved in the anti-litter campaign, Leonard Matipan of Warren Park, told Studio 7 their efforts have gone a long way in keeping the suburb clean.
From where it was, this community was so dirty, but now so clean through us anti-litter campaign monitors.
World Environment Day is commemorated worldwide on the 5th of June for people to realize their responsibility to take care for the planet Earth, to do something for the environment, and to take action. This year's theme by the United Nations Environment Programme was 7 billion, one planet, consume with care. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Though it faces a food security crisis that threatens more than 4 million of its people, the government of South Sudan took the extraordinary and regrettable step of expelling the top United Nations official working there to help address the emergency. The government of South Sudan indicated that the decision to expel UN humanitarian coordinator Toby Lanzer came after remarks Lanzer made in a television interview regarding the gravity of the humanitarian crisis facing the country. The humanitarian crisis is the direct result of ongoing fighting between the government and opposition forces that began in December 2013, when a political split between President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President Riek Machar erupted into violence. The United States condemns the decision to expel Mr. Lanzer. The action is an affront to the international community working to bring peace and stability to South Sudan. It also demonstrates a callous disregard for the suffering of the South Sudanese people. The government's priority should be bringing an end to the violence that has already displaced more than 2 million of its citizens, half a million of whom are now refugees in neighboring countries, and left 4.6 million facing extreme, life-threatening hunger. The United States has contributed more than $1.1 billion in emergency aid to house, feed, and provide medical services for the people of South Sudan, as well as improve water, sanitation, and hygiene services. We strongly support the work of the UN mission in South Sudan and that of Mr. Lanzer, who has been instrumental in addressing the dire humanitarian needs of conflict-affected communities and has been a strong partner and advocate for vulnerable populations in South Sudan. We join UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and other governments in calling on the government of South Sudan to reverse its decision and to cooperate fully with all United Nations entities present in South Sudan, as well as other international organizations working on behalf of the South Sudanese people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in our sports segment, Zimbabwe's national senior soccer squad, the Warriors, are in depths of despair as they prepare to face the Flames of Malawi. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details from Harare.
The Warriors left for Malawi by road this morning after the Zimbabwe Football Association failed to secure enough seats for the players to travel by air via Johannesburg, South Africa, for their Group H Africa Cup of Nations qualifier at the Kamuzu Stadium in Blantyre tomorrow. The journey will take the Warriors 12 hours, and the team will only arrive for the match only 14 hours before they are scheduled to trot onto the pitch. This is probably the worst treatment the Warriors have received in their 36 years of international football. They also go into the game having trained for only 2 days, and coach Kalisto Pasua is not a happy man.
We've been grinding in his house before. We went to come and we went to Swaziland. People are maybe taking it as a justice to say maybe we can win without even training, which is paid at the end of the day. We need to prepare.
The Warriors had been scheduled to leave yesterday morning, but this was not to be after they went on strike demanding to be paid $500 each player in advance as appearance fee. Prophet Walter Magaya of the PhD Ministry had to come to the rescue of the Zimbabwe Football Association after he chipped in with the required funds to allow the team to travel and fulfill the fixture. Despite the shambolic preparation, there is mixed belief on what the Warriors will come out with. Cape United supporter Daniel Zambezi says the game will be tough.
Going to be a tough match since we didn't have enough time to prepare. We only trained once, and today we left for Malawi. If we come out with a draw, that would be a bonus to us.
Zambezi says the Zimbabwe Football Association should put their house in order for a shift out of office.
Zifa leadership has failed. They must just step down, and we need the other people who can manage this our football better.
Pasua has called what is probably the best team available. He has included Netherlands-based Marvelous Nakamba, Sweden-based Norris Msona, as well as the South African trio of Kama Billiard, Willard Katande, and Cuthbert Malagila. Warriors fan club member Fidelis Masocha has so much belief in Pasua to the extent that he believes the Warriors will win and give his prediction for the game.
2-0 in favor of Zimbabwe.
The Warriors need a win against the Flames and hence their chances of qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations for the first time in 11 years.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with experts and listeners about the Warriors' clash with Malawi Flames after refusing to leave Zimbabwe, demanding payment of allowances of up to $500 a player.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai's MDCT party says they will go ahead with a rally set for tomorrow, though police won't provide security.
President Robert Mugabe left for South Africa today for the 25th Assembly of Heads of State and Government of the African Union.
And Warriors fight for appearance fees at home, and now they are on the road for a clash with Malawi Flames in that country.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.